Turn with me to Matthew 18. We are going to look at Psalm 91 tonight. And I want to show you why we are going to look at Psalm 91 tonight. As we were looking at these verses Sunday morning, verse 10 stood out to me and it blessed me. Just the thought of this, it just blesses me so much. But I didn't have time to talk about it, and it was not on the subject matter we were looking at, so I didn't bring our attention to it. But I want to bring our attention to it tonight. Matthew 18, verse 10 says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father, which is in heaven." Their angels. Sam is not the only person here who has an angel. Their angels. Doesn't that bless your heart? They're angels. One of the references in the center margin here of my Bible for their angels is Psalm 91, verse 11. And don't turn over there yet. Let me quote it to you. It says, "For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways." He shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. He will give his angels charge over his people to keep them and protect them and guard them all the days of their life on this earth. That's precious, isn't it? That's just precious. People think about and they talk about guardian angels. Well, God's people have them. They do. God's people have them. How many times throughout the scriptures did angels come and deliver instruction to God's people? How many times did they come and physically deliver God's people, lay hold of them and deliver them? They pulled Lot and his family out of Sodom. They said, "We cannot touch this city until you're out of it." The Lord sent them to smite nations. When Judas led the mob to come take the Lord, Peter pulled a sword out and he started swinging and he cut a man's ear off. And when he did that, the Lord said, "Peter," as if to say, "What are you doing? That's cute and all. But don't you know that with one word I could call down 72,000 angels right now? 12 legions." Now listen to this. In 2 Samuel 24, one angel slew 70,000 men. And the Lord said, "Don't you realize that with one word I could call down 72,000 angels? Put your sword away, Peter. You don't need to do that." I love the story in 2 Kings 6 where the Syrian army was sent to take Elisha. And that night they surrounded the city that Elisha was in. This city was down in a valley. And when Elisha's servant woke up the next morning and he went out of the house, he saw that the whole city was surrounded by the enemy. And he ran back into the house crying, "Master, what are we going to do?" And Elisha prayed to God and said, "Lord, open his eyes that he might see." Wouldn't you love for the Lord to open your spiritual eyes just for a moment so you could see? He said, open his eyes that he might see. And the Lord did. He opened his spiritual eyes. And when that young man looked around, he saw the mountains that surrounded that city all the way around. They were completely jam-packed full of horses and chariots of fire. Warrior angels ready to attack. And Elisha said, they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Fear not. Fear not. Turn over to Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, verse 13 says, but to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Angels are servants of God who he sends forth to minister to his people. Matthew 18 said, in heaven they do always behold the face of the Father, waiting for his command, waiting for his next order to be given. When our girls were in elementary school, at John Adams Elementary School, one day they had a field day. It was a fun day thing, and the parents could come, so Hannah and I went, and they had all these activities for the kids, and one of the activities was the police department brought a canine unit, and this police officer, it was his dog that he had trained, and he was letting all the kids see the dog and play with the dog, and the dog was a dog. The dog was having fun and running and doing all that stuff until he gave the command, it's time to go to work. And as soon as he gave that command, that dog ran by his side and looked at him. And I was so impressed by this dog. I respected this dog so much. And here's the reason why. That dog never, ever got in front of him. He drew his gun. You know, he was putting on a show for the kids. He drew his gun and he'd take a step forward and that dog would take a step right beside him. Never in front, never to trip him up. And he'd take a step back and that dog would come right back. And he'd side to side. And that dog never took his eyes off of his face. That dog was not looking for danger. That dog was looking to his master. He never took his eyes off of his master. No matter what, he never stopped looking at him until he gave the command, go. And that dog took off and jumped on the big dude in the puffy thing. That's what the angels do. They stand there beholding the face of the Father, just waiting for the command. Waiting for the command. I love how in the book of Daniel, it says in Daniel 9, when he started praying, he realized the state Israel was in. They were in captivity. And he just started crying and begging God, please have mercy on us. Don't kill us. And the angel Gabriel, it says he flew with strength. So swiftly he was tired. And I don't even understand that. But Gabriel said to him, the moment you started praying, the command came forth. Go to him. Before he finished his prayer, he was standing there answering from God. Psalm 103 says they are mighty. They excel in strength, doing his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. And if you'll turn with me to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, verse 2 says, "Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unaware." Some have entertained angels. Some have had dealings and interactions with angels and had no idea. That's beautiful to think about. That's beautiful to think about. That is comforting. That's reassuring. That's heartwarming. Does it not do your heart good to think as you go through this life, mighty warriors have been stationed around you? That is just wonderful. Here's where the glory in it goes. That's all wonderful to think about. Here's where the glory in it goes. It all goes to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we glory in this, we're going to glory in the Lord. The glory is going to go to the Lord. We will glory in His sovereign will for us to be cared for. We will glory in His means that He has provided in caring for us. We will glory in the angel of the Lord Himself. And that's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to glory in the angel of the Lord Himself. All right? We're going to glory in the Lord. We're going to glory in the security that Christ has provided for us, from the security of His eternal love and His eternal will and purpose, to the security of the cross, to the security of every step we take until Him. We are secure in Christ, through Christ, unto Christ. We're secure. We are secure. Now turn with me over to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, coming from what Matthew 18 quoted. The heading at the top of my page says, this precious psalm declares the security of the godly. That's what it says at the top of my page. The security of the godly. The security of those who were chosen by God to be godly, redeemed from ungodliness to godliness in Christ. I've titled this message, "The Security of God's People." From eternity to eternity, God will take care of His people. He will. From eternity to eternity, God will take care of His people. He proved that to us at the cross of Calvary. He proved that by sacrificing His own self, shedding His own blood, laying down His own life. That's what it took for Him to securely care for us. So that's what He did. And now because of that, verse 1 says, Psalm 91 verse 1 says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Where is the secret place of the Most High? It's in Christ. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ. He or she who just sits there and stays in Christ. That sounds so good to me. I want to sit in Christ and stay there. The secret place of the tabernacle was the Holy of Holies. That's the place where the blood brought redemption to God's people. That's Christ. That's in Christ. What all of that pictured in type and in ceremony, that all illustrated the reality of where God's people are in Christ. They are hidden in the secret place, all dwelling safely under the shadow of the Almighty. I love that word so much. I love the word Almighty. Almighty. What security there is in dwelling under the cover of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. I will say of the Lord, Jehovah, God my Savior, Jesus Christ, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. He was our refuge in judgment, the judgment of the cross, the judgment that has already come to God's people. You know, there is a judgment to come, but not for God's people. The judgment has already come to God's people. We were judged in Christ. He was our refuge then. And because of that, He's our refuge now. We run to Him. We run to Him for every need we have. And He delivers us. He truly does, doesn't He? When we run to Him, He delivers us in heart, in mind, in soul, one day in body. One day real soon in body. He is our refuge, our fortress. A mighty fortress is our God. A bulwark never failing. And we trust Him. We trust Him. Under His wings we are come to trust. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. We trust Him. Verse 3 says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Surely He shall deliver thee. That is a promise from God. The God who cannot lie. The God whose word will never fail. Surely He shall deliver thee. Don't you love all the surelys and shalls in Scripture? I was thinking about this today. That's a good message title. If anybody needs a message, surelys and shalls. But you're going to have to do it quick because I'm probably going to do it. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Children of God, we can count on it. We can count on it. All who are hiding in Him, dwelling in Him, hoping in Him, trusting in Him, we can count on it. Surely He shall deliver thee. He delivered us from the curse of the law. He delivered us from the penalty of sin. He delivered us from the wrath of God. He'll deliver us from everything else. What is anything else compared to all that? Curse, penalty, wrath. What is anything compared to all of that? Verse 3 says, surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. He will protect you. He will defend you. He will fight for you. That's what Moses told worried and afraid Israel just before God parted the Red Sea for them. How many times in our lives, honestly, can we realize and say, God parted the Red Sea for me right there? What seemed to be so impossible? He parted the Red Sea. Moses said to Israel, fear not. That this was the message then, this is the message now. No matter what it is, this is the message right now. Three things. Fear not. Stand still. And see the salvation of the Lord. That's the message. Fear not. Stand still. The Scripture says, be still. The Lord said, be still and know that I am God. Just be still. And just sit there dwelling under the shadow of the Almighty. Knowing that I'm God. Fear not, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Verse 4 says, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. He didn't say that terror wouldn't exist. He didn't say the arrow wouldn't fly. He didn't say the pestilence wouldn't be there. He didn't say destruction wouldn't come. What he said is, you don't have to be afraid of any of it. You don't have to be afraid of any of it. Because God is sovereignly in control of all of it. All of it. Whether that's talking about the terror and the destruction that we see in this world, or the terror and destruction of the day of judgment. If we were crucified with Christ, verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. On the day of judgment, thousands are going to fall. 10,000s are going to fall. But that fall is not going to come to God's people. It's not coming. And even on this earth, without God's direct permission and without His direct consent, none of these things will come to God's people. He has to give the command. He has to give the order. Therefore, fear not. He's in control of it. Might these things come? Yes, they might. But if they do, it'll be at His direct command. These things are in His hands. According to His will, it's all for His glory. And we're going to see that on the day of judgment. We really will. We will see that on the day of judgment. Verse 7 says, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder and young lion, and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. The only reason that can be said about God's people is because Christ has been made to be our refuge in dwelling place. If anything else was our refuge, meaning what we ran to for safety and salvation. Men run to all kinds of things. Women run to all kinds of things. If our refuge was anything else, if religion was our refuge, if the law was our refuge, if our works and our morality was our refuge, that could not be said about us. But because Christ has been made to be all of it. All to us. All of our refuge. In Him, we are all to God. Because Christ has been made to be all to us, in Him we are all to God. With Him, as He is with the Godhead, we are with the Godhead. And as God's angels ministered to Him, you know, our Lord was the substitute for His people. He lived this life for His people. And those angels came and ministered to Him. As they ministered to Him on this earth, they will minister to His people. Verse 11 says, He shall give His angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. I read that and I think, I dash my foot against a stone all the time. I'm always hurting myself. I'm always tripping and fumbling, and that's not what He's talking about. He's saying they will, by the command of God, keep us from utterly falling. They will keep us from utterly falling. They will keep our path cleared to Christ, and they will. They will mightily, whatever stands between God's people and God, they'll clear the way. They'll give us a clear path to Christ. They'll ward off, they'll defend us from anything that would utterly cause us to fall. God has commanded them to do that. And they will. Verse 14 says, "Because he hath set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation." That's the promise of God to his people who have been caused to put their hope and their trust in Christ. The Lord said, "Because of my love for them, which put love in them for me." Because of that love, for love's sake, I'll deliver them. I'll set them on high. I'll answer them. I will be with them in their time of trouble, every time of trouble they have. I'll honor them. I'll satisfy them with long, everlasting life. And I will show them my salvation. I love that. I will show them my salvation. That is the loving care of God for his people. That's the loving care of God for his people. And in that love, which is Christ, God's people are safe. So safe.